So from the long gamers who have their whole lives ahead of them, entrepreneurs hoping to make a killing, to the folks with attention spans measured in nanoseconds looking at the markets this morning, Kelly Evans joins us, as she often does. She's the Wall Street Journal Ahead of the Tape columnist. Let's look at these dismal market numbers. Asia, as we expected, echoed what happened on Wall Street yesterday. How you doing this morning, Kelly?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, I guess. I'm rubbing my hands together to see what we might find out from the jobs report here in just about an hour.
And really, over the course of the day yesterday, you really saw a kind of psychological MRI of the entire global market consensus that, hey, you know what? There's nothing good out there. Is that continuing this morning?
You know, it continued overnight, but that's not unusual. So usually what happens, you know, as goes the U.S., so goes Europe and Asia. And in fact, you saw markets in the U.K. and in Europe down actually a little bit less than the Dow. So the Dow was down about 4.3% yesterday, and we've seen the FTSE in the U.K. down about 2%. We see, if you look over in Asia, the Nikkei down less than 4%, Shanghai 2%. Now the Hang Seng, that's Hong Kong, that was also down more than 4%. So they're sort of queuing off what happened in the U.S. yesterday. And that's why it's going to be so critical to see what happens at 8:30 when we get the jobs report out here today. That will really kind of dictate the rest of the trading behavior for today and really set the tone, in my opinion, for the rest of the month for global markets.
Now, the best case scenario, according to economists who are predicting an addition of 90,000 jobs, would keep the unemployment rate at 9.2%. But it seems as though the market is counting on an even more negative number than that best case scenario.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that expectations are pretty low. I mean, it's hard to not look at yesterday and think that that's pricing in a weak report. So it will still be bad news and a bad surprise if we get, say, only 10 or 20,000 added. It's not out of the question we could see a negative number because, remember, we have one hand fighting the other here. We have the private sector adding payrolls while the government continues to shed them. And the way that that comes out in any given month, given how volatile, you know, and how small these figures are, remember, the margin of error here is, you know, wipes out. It would almost mean that we couldn't even interpret the figures because when you're talking about a gain of 20, 30,000 jobs in an economy that's adding and losing millions each month, it's very easy for this to kind of move erratically.
So if it's within the margin of error, then the figure is meaningless.
John, and yet it isn't. Yeah, so, you know, these figures aren't just revised every month. They're revised every year, and that often shows things look quite different. Now, it doesn't necessarily move the needle entirely, and I think what's really important about this report is it will basically tell us, okay, were the last couple of months, which were so weak, we added something like 30,000 jobs on average. Was that an aberration, and are we actually somewhat above that level realistically here? So if we come out and add, you know, 100,000 jobs, something along that range, people go, okay, it's not great, but we're not falling off a cliff either. If, on the other hand, we see a really bad report, you see the unemployment rate, importantly, see the unemployment rate rise, then we go, okay, we should really take this at face value here. It is telling us something about the weakness of the economy, and certainly that's the mood that markets are in lately.
Well, let's try to find some longer-term trends than just the fluctuations on Wall Street, which, as you mentioned, the volatility index on all the major VIX indices was up, you know, double digits yesterday. You know, there's been a flight to T-bills, not unexpected, right?
Absolutely, especially remember what's triggering a lot of this and what was happening yesterday is not even that people just woke up and said, you know, the global economy's weak and so we're selling off on it. It's really that you started to see these moves when the Bank of Japan comes in, the Swiss National Bank, they're trying to keep their currencies low. It's sort of wreaking havoc with the dollar. When the dollar strengthens, it tends to depress stock markets and commodities. And as this is all happening and as gold is rising and there's a speculation about quantitative easing, you get margin calls. So investors basically have to put up more money to keep trading and then they have to sell other positions. So it was a technical move as much as anything, and you really just sort of saw this whiplash reaction as stocks fell, then they fell and took out their lows for the year, and then they kept falling further because, as we all like to say, the machines kick in at some point here, and you kind of just sit back and, you know, because remember, about a third of trading activity at this point is really dictated by algorithms, if not more. So
the
question is, you know, how much of that was overdone?
And, well, but also how much of that machine unraveling could continue today, and we're really only know that when the markets open. But I'm struck by the fact that there's a huge demand for T-bills, but virtually no demand for commodities, which suggests that traders suspect that there's very weak demand in the global market for things like oil, copper, industrial commodities that would be a sign that people have some faith that things would turn around.
Right. Now, loss in all this attention on the U.S. is really the focus on emerging markets, which has been the story of the last couple of years, practically, you know, with regard to China and Brazil and some of these places, the story of our lifetimes. You know, the growth there has been so rapid. It has been making up for all of the weak spots in developed markets. And now there are signs of that starting to slow. You know, one of the hardest hit markets yesterday was actually Brazil, where after some weak industrial production data, economists revised down their forecast. So Brazil GDP in 2011, for all the talk that Brazil gets, may only grow at 3.5%, 4% next year. You know, it's not double digits. China we're seeing coming off double digits. So if the big main consumer of all of these things that countries are making in the world just slows a little bit, it has that effect on markets. So as much as the U.S. matters, remember, a lot of these emerging markets matter too.
And oil, 3 weeks ago, it was almost $100 a barrel. Now it's 86.
Yeah, and so $100 a barrel, a lot of people saying at the time, you know, that was too high. It was assuming a level of demand that wasn't there. You know, it's sort of this terrible twin. I don't really know quite how to describe it, but, you know, when the economy's strong, the price of oil's high, and it almost acts as this automatic check on growth in the U.S., which is so reliant on the price of oil. So we do get a bit of stimulus, a windfall when oil prices fall. Unfortunately, it tends to come at a time when growth doesn't look that great either. So it's hard to really get a break from it. It's good news. But in order for it really to be good news, it needs to come at a time when the economy is still growing, consumers have some confidence, and it really does, you know, give people a break at the end of the day, and they're not facing that next, you know, they're not looking into unemployment.
So how black this Friday will be is going to be determined by what happens an hour from now. That's pretty much it, right?
Yes, watch the unemployment rate. If it rises again, it will be a sign, at least historically speaking, that we are closer to a recession.
All right, Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal, ahead of the tape columnist, reacting to sort of the nanosecond attention spans of investors looking at the unemployment rate, which is probably going to be unchanged, but we'll find out about an hour from now. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.